Good afternoon. My name's Mary Van Tine. I'm with the Software Engineering Institute, and I'm here today to talk to Peter Feiler about the report, System Architecture, Virtual Integration, and Industrial Case Study. So thanks for joining me, Peter.
Sure, you're welcome.
So as I can see, this report is a case study of this System Architecture, Virtual Integration, or I think SAVI, you
yes.
called it.
Mm-hmm.
So could you tell me a little bit more about the background of this report?
Yeah, the background of this report is the following. There is an organization called the Aerospace Systems Vehicle Institute. It's a nonprofit entity that's part of the University of Texas, allows companies in the aerospace industry to work together on problem without violating the monopoly of doing pre-competitive research. And in this particular case, we have had a number of companies, and some of the key companies are Boeing, Airbus, and Lockheed Martin, which are actually competitors, to work together to solve a common problem. And the problem is the following. The amount of software that goes into aircraft has been growing exponentially in size and in complexity, and it has reached now a size that for the next generation they expect about 27 million lines of code in there. And the cost of development of the software, given current techniques, has reached more than $10 billion.
Oh, my goodness.
So they realize they cannot continue that path because they won't be able to produce the next generation system. They also realize that the problems that they have been running into are the percentage of problems introduced by software has been increasing. Part of the reason for that is that for software, you cannot treat software the same way as hardware, so traditional reliability techniques don't work. The reason is software is just designed, so if you have a design error, if you want to assign a probability of this piece of software failing, you need to understand what the problem in the software is. If you understand the problem, then you may as well fix it. So you can see that that kind of thinking doesn't work.
Yes, certainly.
So what has happened is that several of the companies internally had projects to explore that problem, a solution for the problem, and they were building on research that was actually funded by DARPA in the 90s, a lot of research around architecture languages and architecture modeling, because what the answer to the problem is what other engineering disciplines have been doing for a while. You create models, you through analysis and simulation try to upfront predict what's going to happen and then stick with that and move forward, and we are slowly putting the technologies in place to make that happen. So they had these in-house solutions, but the problem is that they have a common set of suppliers. So if Boeing has a proprietary solution, they need to get the supplier to use their tools, because just Boeing internally doesn't help. The suppliers needs to use it too. But it's the same supplier working with Airbus, so.
Okay.
Now, you quickly realize we cannot have home-cooked meals anymore.
Certainly. I can see how different companies would need the same kind of integration to do that. So this SAVI model.
Yes. So what they then said is, and this is reflected in the word SAVI, and SAVI stands for System Architecture Virtual Integration. The idea is that you have a representation of your system in a model, and what we're interested in is that it's very strongly architecture-oriented, because that's where the big picture is. The detail models, people use stuff, and they're doing a fine job there. It's the system-level issues. So that the suppliers can send the integrator a model early in the game, so that, for example, when they're bidding, they can already test out certain consistency at the architecture level.
Oh, my goodness.
Early in the process. Because what they have is they have data that shows them that 80%, 70% of the problems are introduced early in the development process, and 80% of them are not caught until system integration. If we can even only catch 30% of those that are currently caught at system integration later during the design phase, they have an ROI study that shows they will have recovered all of the cost and have some savings.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And so this is now the question that they want to answer. And the word virtual integration means you basically integrate early in the process by integrating the models and running analyses on these models.
Has this particular case study shown these benefits that you've talked about?
Yes. the way they went about the whole process is, first of all, they needed to identify what technologies to use to demonstrate that. So they had done an independent study without the involvement of the SCI to look at what are some of the technologies out there. And in that context, they had identified the ADL, which is an SAE standard for modeling embedded software system architectures, as a primary candidate for doing that work. And then they turned to the SCI because we were involved in the creation of the standard. We were also involved in providing an open source tool set and have demonstrated that you can integrate a whole collection of analyses around a single architecture model. And the reason they were interested in that, because they also uncovered a second problem in building systems before, namely, they have created analytical models of the system. They have had teams that did scheduling analysis, that have had a team that went off and did fault tree analysis. But these teams worked independently and created models independently, so these models were not consistent with each other. So when the one guy says it works, the other guy says it works. In the end, the system didn't work because they looked at a system, what's reflected in the model didn't reflect the real system.
Okay.
And so to them, a second key element was to say there must be single truth in our analysis results, in the sense that when the analysis says something and that analysis says something, it's with respect to the same system and the analytical models are consistent. And again, when they looked around, there are things in this AADL standard and in this whole model-based engineering approach behind it that we at the SAI promote that provided a large part of the answer to them. And so what they wanted to do now is they need to turn this into a whole practice in order to convince themselves that it works. They need to do proof of concept. And this is what this first phase was about, and this is what one piece of it, this report, is about.
Oh.
A second piece of activity, and there will be a second report of the SCI. So
excellent.
You can look forward to that. And that's the one where we did an ROI analysis, where there's lots of detail about the figures that I just mentioned.
Oh, that's excellent.
And why those figures are trustworthy, because it turns out they then actually took that model and validated it with internal data within the companies, and our predictions were very close to the predictions they would have within the company. So there's strong validity in that ROI model as well, but that's not the topic of today.
No, that's fine. You've actually anticipated my next question, which would be what's coming up next in this field, and you mentioned another SCI report that will probably come out of this type of work. Do you know when we might look for that?
That should be coming out in about 2 months from now.
Oh, tremendous.
Yeah. On the looking forward part, there is also just a comment that this whole initiative is actually a four-phase initiative. This case study was part of the first phase. The second phase will kick off in March. And in the first phase, we had 8 partners. In the next phase, we will have 11 partners, and then there's 2 more phases. First was proof of concept. This next phase is starting to bring technologies from commercial vendors together. The third phase will apply it in a product setting, and the fourth phase is then pushing it out into the product groups within the companies.
Okay.
So it's kind of maturing the technology and pushing it out as a practice is what's going to happen by this whole industry group.
No, certainly. Certainly, that sounds wonderful. The only remaining question that I would have for you today is, who should read this report?
Well, this report should be read by people who, actually, several people. There's people who are engineers because it gives them some insights on how you can find answers to some of your engineering problems by actually doing some of this analysis. So it shows you that it's worthwhile investing some effort in putting information into a model because you're getting much more out. It also is useful for people who are having a vision for this, that there is technology that's not mature enough that you can start doing this. And thirdly, that there is a set of industry standards and industry investment in making it reality. So you're not a lone fighter anymore, but you can leverage this. And so it's in that context, gives you some insights on what was learned in the first phase, and that helps you decide whether you want to possibly either observe or even join that initiative. That initiative is not a closed one. It's open, and it can be for people that are not in the avionics industry.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
That's all the time that we have today. Once again, our website is www.sei.cmu.edu. Thank you for joining me.
Sure, you're welcome.